forgot about our offering. We'll have that when you get ready to leave. You can just put it up here or at the back. Those that, if you already have a spirit of giving, then I know you'll give. So it's there for us. And then Wednesday, last Wednesday night, was so awesome in our prayer time. And we're going to do it again this Wednesday night. I encourage you, if you can, to come out. Gathering together again in prayer, see what the Lord's going to speak to us. And our kiddos are getting back to activity, and it's exciting down there. They got lots of plans, and we'll be hearing about that. But be sure you bring the kiddos, let them start back in their classes, and try to get back in the swing of things. Amen. You just determined that this COVID is not the new norm, okay? Don't let it become the new norm. Amen. Well, let's get into the Word, see what God has. The book of Ephesians. This book is a letter that written by the Apostle Paul to the believers that were living in Ephesus. And it said that Paul ministered there approximately 2 years, and he developed a relationship, a closeness with the converts that he made there. And later, while he was a prisoner then in Rome awaiting trial, he wrote this letter to the Ephesian church, all of those believers that were in Ephesus. He wrote this letter. And as Paul prayed about God's purpose for his body, called the church, what it meant to simply be a part of Christ's body, we find that the Spirit of the Lord poured revelation into Paul about these particular things that he was praying for. And Paul then writes this letter to share what he believed that God had downloaded in his own spirit. And when you read Ephesians, you see Paul reveals then God's plan for his church. Paul refers to it then as the mystery of his will, there in chapter 1 and verse 9. And so in essence, here it is. First of all, it's that the believers would be united in their purpose, first of all. And guess what? Unity in the church happens to be one of the areas that Satan loves to target. And then second, it's that there would be a body formed who would then demonstrate the truth of the gospel to the world. And that's what we're to do. As Brother Tony said, we're to be that light in a dark world. And then the third is that they would be equipped and empowered to do spiritual warfare in order to conform or to confound and overthrow evil. So my scripture text then is found in Ephesians chapter 1. And this is Paul praying for spiritual wisdom. So let's pick up at verse 15. Follow along, because this is a few verses. Here's what Paul's prayer is. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you. Talking about the believers there. Making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. How many know we need wisdom in this day and time? That ought to be part of our prayer. Lord, I need your wisdom in all of what's going on. I need to know your mind of what you're saying. I'm hearing everything the man is saying, everything the enemy puts out there, but I need your wisdom. What you're saying, your revelation. And he goes on, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Lord, I need my eyes open to the truth, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things, everybody say all things, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head of over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So for a little while this morning, I want to talk to you about the church walking in dominion. Walking in dominion. Again, who is the church? We are. This building is not the church. It's just a place where we come and meet together. But we are the body of Christ, called the church, here on the earth today. So dominion, then, is a topic that many believers talk about, but few in the church really possess. Dominion, in its simplest form, is power and authority or control over something or someone. We need to understand that spiritually, in Christ, we have been given the authority to crush Satan and the powers of darkness under our feet. Amen. You just know, as a believer, Satan dwells. He's supposed to be under our feet. Amen. But to do that, we have to exercise then or use the authority, and we do it with boldness and being full of faith and full of power. So again, dominion in its simplest form is power, authority, or control over something or someone. Dominion is the ability to request or command and expect a fulfillment of that appeal. To have dominion is to rule or to be in charge. For us then, as saints of God, understanding dominion really is crucial to our walk with God. Amen? Especially as we're walking through 2021 and beyond. We thought 2020 was bad. We don't know what 2021 holds, but as believers, we can walk in victory. Amen. We don't have to live a life of defeat. You don't have to walk in fear every day of what's going to happen, because we have a God we know of whom we serve that protects us and looks out for us. And if we lack in the understanding, listen, it can and will cost us spiritually and in the natural. Spiritual dominion is not arbitrary rulership. It's not about going around commanding and demanding at your own discretion. Spiritual dominion falls under the auspices of God, meaning it's to be done with his leading. And it is only effective then and effectual when we are submitted totally to the will of God. Dominion is about knowing who we are in Christ. You got to know who you are. You are somebody. You're not a nobody, but you are somebody in him. And understanding that through him, we have been given then the power to lay hold onto the promises of God and possess them until we see Jesus face to face. Until we are raptured out of here to be with the Lord in all eternity. How many want to spend eternity with him? Amen. Dominion then is understanding that we can do what God says we can do. We can have what God says we can have. And we can be what God says that we can be. So spiritual dominion begins in you and me. Now let's understand that at the outset that we will never be able to exercise power or authority over anything until we have first conquered self. Do you know what self is? Talking about our own flesh. And hopefully this is not a surprise to anyone, but did you know that flesh is our greatest enemy? It's something that we will deal with until, as the Bible says, we are changed into immortality at Christ's return. And that's why we have to work then every day at keeping ourselves renewed. How do we do that? Like Brother Tony was talking about, staying in the Word of God. Staying in the Word. The church today appears to be on fire with spiritual warfare. We see many going against demonic activities and battling demons and rebuking the forces of evil. But listen, until we conquer our flesh, here we go now, understand we are no match to the enemy. Now, am I talking about being perfect? Not at all. But I'm talking about not having an open door into our lives for the enemy to come in. The Bible clearly gives us some pretty good instructions. It's found in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Here's what Paul wrote to the Romans. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's what you ought to do. And be not conformed to this world in its way of thinking, its way of doing, its way of acting, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many wants the perfect will of God in your life? In Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, Paul writes this, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Now guess what? The Word of God has not changed. It has not evolved through the ages. It's as relevant and true today as it was when it was given way back then. And unless we first take dominion over ourselves, over our own habits, over our own desires, and yes, any unbridled lust, any passions that are in us, we can never expect to have dominion over anything else in our lives. So what do? We have to work then to crucify and dominate and control this old flesh, listen now, and make it bow to the dictates of God Almighty. You have to choose to be different. That means watching what we say. We don't have to have the last word on issues with other people. You know the truth, and you know when it's time to just walk away. Say, Lord, I turn it over to you. I'm not going to continue to dispute. How about having our attitudes right, having it all together, no matter how others then are reacting at the time? How about standing up for what's right, standing up for what's holy to the Lord, upholding God's Word, using it as the standard and the moral compass for our lives? How about rejoicing through our troubles? How many know that's a biggie? Rejoicing through our troubles. And I'll be the first to admit, I haven't always done that. Brother Gary, it was more like me having a pity party for myself with a large bowl of Bluebell and a bag of Oreos, sitting in my recliner in front of the TV, telling my puppy dogs all about it, and knowing that they're going to take my side. How many know that might please us for a moment, but guess what? Reckoning comes in the morning. We have to determine that we will worship with commitment and we're going to stand in our God-given authority. And whatever that mountain may be that you're facing right now, determine today, determine anew that you're going to take dominion over it. Whatever that may be, don't let it stand in your way. Don't let it keep you from your place of power and dominion Lord. And again, I'm talking about our speech, our conversations, our actions, and even our thinking being different from the way of the world. Would you just tap your neighbor and tell them it can be done? It's hard. Tell them it's hard. But you can do it. You can do it. Remember, if you pointed at them, you've got three fingers pointing back at you, okay? People who take dominion are leaders. They're not followers. They learn through their test and the trials that come their way. They learn through their experiences. Anybody ever have learned through experiences? And they believe God to the fulfillment of His promises. And His promises really are yes and amen for our lives. So let me just ask you, how many times can you think of in your life where the enemy tried to destroy you, tried to kill you, tried to steal from you, where he set you up for failure because he hates what you stand for? There were those accidents when you look back. There were those injuries. And there was that sickness. But God kept you alive. And God kept you able in sound mind and strength. Ready for this day. Ready for this day and this hour and this season that we're in right now. Brother Tony, God kept you for this hour. I love this verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, if we're going to fulfill the plan and purposes the Lord has for each one of us, then we have to take dominion. It's a must for our lives. We will have to stop bowing to the things that we don't have to bow to. By that, I'm simply saying we don't have to accept all the false narratives that are dumped on us almost daily as truth. I'm not just talking about the daily news or the evening news. Let me give you an example. Well, Pastor, my parents were poor. They just never had anything to show all for all their labor. So I guess I'll always be poor. No. Would you say that with me? No. Well, Pastor, I was told I'd never amount to anything. My dad was a thief, and well, there you go. No. My dad couldn't keep a job. I can't stay on any job myself very long. I don't know what the problem is. This is the way things have always been. And it'll always be this way. No. Well, his dad was abusive. My dad was, and so, no, no, no. Say that with me again. No, no, no. Hear me closely this morning. We really can change things about our lives. We have a choice. You have a choice. I have a choice. And only then with the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God's Word can we change things in our lives. Only and to last. If you don't have the power of God in your life, guess what? Any changes that you might try will only last for a little while because the enemy will have an open door. It's only by His power and His might. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. I love this verse. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. What does that mean? It means the God of peace can set you free and separate you from profane and vulgar things. I hope you're hearing me this morning. that one little portion of Scripture means that our Heavenly Father can keep us whole and keep us undamaged. Again, here's the whole verse. And the very God of peace sanctify us wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's understand that we have to recognize what doors that we open to the enemy. Whether it's through our spirit man or our soul, that's our mind, our will, our emotions, or even our physical body, which is your and my senses. Especially what we hear, what we see with our eyes. Why? Because Satan knows our habits. Satan knows your habits. And what does he do? He plans then his attacks by watching our every move. So I won't camp out here very long, but guess what? We're not thinking very straight if we think that movies and games with vulgarity and sex and violence does not affect us and our children, especially on a long-term basis. It will affect you. And you don't go into that game knowing what it has in it and say, Lord, I plead the blood over my mind while I'm playing this game. It ain't going to work. It is not going to work. Lord, I thank you. You're going to kill all them bad guys. Lord. No, it ain't going to work that way. That stuff will get you down into your spirit. We'll get down into your spirit and take hold if we continually open that door. Well, what about the words that we speak? The Bible says life and death are in the tongue. So our words then really do determine our ability to walk in dominion. Listen, the enemy loves it when we claim as our own all of the sicknesses and diseases and illnesses that come our way. Well, Pastor, I've had this and I've had that and I get that and this every year. And they say COVID will always now be with us, so it's the new norm for my life. Listen, the doctors will swab your brain. More than once, if you'll allow them to. I can tell you right now, don't you dare let them swab your brain. Not ever again. You look for another test. Don't let them stick that 6-inch thing up your nose. Amen. You don't know what they're putting up there. You may come out of that office after getting your nose swabbed, your brain swabbed, and you'll be acting like a monkey or something. So, be wanting bananas. And I like bananas, and I haven't gotten swabbed either. So. And yes, those diseases do get into our body, and sickness does attach itself to us. We're not going to deny that. But let's be careful not to take ownership of those things with the words that we speak. Do you understand what I'm saying? Remember, the truth of God's word always, always takes precedence every time over any medical facts that the doctor may give us. The Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. And as a child of the Most High God, remember, we are covered by the blood of Jesus. So we take that word of God and we declare with our mouth that those diseases cannot stay in us or on us or do us harm. And we even declare the side effects of medicines will not do us harm. They have to go in Jesus' name. So what do I do, Pastor? Well, you have to fight with all you have and again declare that the Word of God is at work in my body. That I'm going to fight it. And I'm going to walk in dominion. And I'm going to see victory over the enemy. And over the works of the enemy. Now, you may see it differently than I do in this. It's okay. But if you're a blood-bought, blood-washed child of the Most High God, and you're dwelling in the secret place of the King of Kings, and you're in His hands, and you're under the shadow of the Almighty, meaning that your ultimate trust and faith is in Almighty God, then the devil cannot take you out through sickness and disease. Listen, many of our loved ones who were full of Jesus were ready to go when He called them home. They had fought a fight. So we don't give any credit then to the enemy. Amen. We all have loved ones that were full of Jesus. And yes, sickness and disease attached itself. But we know our loved ones that were full of Jesus, and they stayed true to the Lord to the very end. And they were ready to go. They had fought their fight. And they were ready. And so the Lord said, okay, let's go. Don't you give credit to the enemy. Amen? And we don't have to give in to his tactics. Remember, we have God's word to fight with. We have the authority in the name of Jesus. And we're covered again by the blood of Jesus. So, Pastor, how do we walk in dominion with everything going on around us, especially going into this new year? Number one, we watch what we say. We watch what we say. We guard what we see and hear. And we stand for what is right and pure and holy. Remember, sin is sin. And so we don't compromise the truth of God's word for anybody. We rejoice in the Lord through the trials and the tests that come our way. We don't rejoice for them. Story. In fact, I just opened the magazine up this morning, and Jerry Savelle was talking about a man that come to him. He said, Pastor, I said, Brother Savelle, I want you to pray that I'm not ever bothered by the devil again, that that he won't send me any trials or tests ever again as long as I live. Brother Savelle went to pray, and he said, Lord, take him home. No, I don't want you to pray that. I'm not ready to go home. Brother Savelle, as long as you're here, you're going to be tested, brother. You're going to go through trials. We worship our God with commitment, and we stand in authority. And we determine then that whatever that mountain is, in front of us, we will take dominion at all costs. And I'm telling you this morning, you don't have to let it stand in your way. Don't keep it from you. Don't let it keep you from your place of power and dominion. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, in closing, let's understand that no one can walk in dominion unless he is first connected to Christ. Who alone is worthy to give dominion to those that believe in him? Well, Pastor, how can I start my journey into a life of dominion today? You do it, first of all, by accepting the free gift of salvation. You repent of your sins. I think we heard of that today. Brother Kurt, even as believers, how many know we have to ask God to forgive us? But that also means to simply turn from the direction that you're headed in life and surrender your life to the Lord Jesus and make Him your Lord and your personal Savior. The Bible says He puts our sins then in the sea of forgiveness, never to be brought up to us again. Listen, the Lord reminds you of your future. He doesn't remind you of the past. Only the enemy will remind you of the past. as you repent, you ask Him to come into your heart, then if you desire, listen, He will baptize you in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And you'll find yourself walking in love and power and a sound mind. The Bible says it's not by our might or our power, but by His Spirit. He gives us then the power and authority to walk in dominion, and every believer can have that. So this morning, let's stand together. Can we believe that this is our season for receiving? Through all of the chaos, through all of the unknown, can we really believe that this is our hour and our season to receive what God has for us? And realize that God really has kept us able. And He has kept us in a sound mind. And He has strengthened us so as to be ready for this day and this hour and this season that we're in right now. To fulfill His plan and His purpose in the earth and in each of our own lives. Can we go from this place today and determine to walk every day in dominion and not defeat? Amen. I believe we can. Listen, you do not have to fear what tomorrow holds. I have no idea what the 20th is going to hold. We all know some bad things are coming to this world and coming our direction. But if we stand on the rock and our faith is in God, He's going to give us the peace. We don't have to fear. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you understanding. He'll protect you. He'll provide for you. My little old room, my little new room at home cannot hold a container of 25-year shelf life of chili. Amen. I love chili, but I can't order a truckload. Now, I might one day order two or three pails and stick it in my closet. How many, it's good to have some canned goods up and have some water stored up. Amen. That's a good thing. Some are even blessed to have a few deer in their freezer. And if you smile at Brother DJ, he might share one of these things. His wife said they're just overflowing with deer meat. And he's got three locks on that freezer. Listen, God will provide. God will provide, y'all. And He will protect us. He'll keep you from the enemy. And if for some reason you're walking through some storms, listen, He's there with us in the boat. Amen. Number one thing, Brother Kurt said it, you keep your heart right. I want my heart right. Make it a daily prayer. Lord, cleanse me. Create in me a clean heart. Listen, I want to be a pure vessel. We're not talking about a perfect vessel. I'm talking about a pure vessel that He can work through. How can you talk to your co-worker or to others about being set free when you're bound yourself in some things? Allow Him to do what He needs to do. When you sang this song this morning, make room. Listen, if you believed, if you were truthful in that, then you get ready because He'll do what needs to be done in us. Amen? And guess what? He knows better than any of us what we need for our lives. Can you let Him do it? Amen. Lord, I just thank You now for Your goodness to us. I thank You for Your love. I thank You for Your mercy today. Oh, Lord, we just ask You, God, to shine Your light on our hearts. Lord, if there's anything, take it out. Take out every bit of the unbelief. Take every bit out of the fear out of our lives. And we thank You now. Lord, we're going to walk in victory. We're going to walk in joy. The enemy cannot steal our joy. We close that door to the enemy. Our joy and our hope and our peace is in you alone. And you have an awesome plan for our lives from this moment on. Lord, I thank you. You have given us a window of time to reach our families, our co-workers, our friends, those that are lost, those that have no clue of what's going on. They have no hope. But Lord, you put us in this hour, in this time, in our lives. This is our season to shine. So Lord, I thank you for this body. You lead us. You direct our steps, and we thank you for victory that's ahead, Lord. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you worship the Lord with a hand clap as we end today? Take time. Greet one another. Tell them you love them. You can even go talk to Brother DJ, and he'll set an appointment with you. I love you. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.